You have been married for over 20 years and have two beautiful adult children. Life should be good, but it's not. You haven't recovered from the death of your grandparent 4 years earlier and begin to mentally unravel. Your children have become unmanageable to you. You cannot hold a job, and your spouse has to take a second job to keep the family afloat. Your marriage unravels and you decide to take the ultimate revenge on your unsupportive spouse, killing your children while making them watch. This is the case of Christy Sheets, and this is Murder Me on Monday.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Murder Me on Monday podcast. I'm Cameron, and joined with me is Mother.
Hello.
So a thing that you send me beforehand before we do the podcast, so I have a background kind of thing. I've got a link to an Instagram account. That you say don't click it.
Not yet.
Why? And is that going to be in the description for listeners? Or just is it just me?
I don't want to put it in the show notes for because I just don't think it's right. But people, if you've got the clues and they want to go looking for it, it's not
oh yeah, it won't be hard. It's not exactly buried, is it?
No. But I want your genuine reaction when you open it.
At the end?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So welcome to our latest Patreon supporter, Linda. Thank you so much. If you'd like to support us via patreon.com, where you get early access and exclusive content and stickers should you want them, please do consider it. But leaving a review helps, and a huge thank you to those that have done that.
A while ago, we did an episode where you said, where are the nipples? And if we get enough Patreon support, etc., I really want to make a sticker that's just nipples.
I've got them sort of on a, not order.
Like a back order.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm worried that people are going to put them on and send the picture to me, and I don't want that. I don't want that. If it was me, I'd put eight on me, so like a cat or a cow or something, because that would be funny. But I don't want it from people, but I think it'd be funny.
Well, we could try it. The banner on our Patreon is, I have questions. And boy, do I ever with this case. And I know we won't get any answers now, but I thought it's such an incredibly rare thing, a family, female family annihilator, specifically killing your old children, that this case will be talked about for years. But it's not that rare. 5% of cases are carried out by women.
Murder cases or family massacres?
Family annihilation, yeah. 5% of them are carried out by women.
When I made that Patreon banner, that's not so much I have questions about what the murder has done. I'm like, I have questions why they've done something so stupid. That's clearly obvious that you shouldn't have done that thing. That's probably why you got caught. More so than, I wonder why they did it. I'm like, why did you do the dumb thing?
Yeah, the dumb thing I get, but this kind of falls into that category, doesn't it? Family annihilators, and I think its general concept, are very odd to many of us, and we've covered a few familial cases. But let's start at the beginning. Christy was born Christy Bird on the 2nd of May 1974 in Decatur, Alabama. No mention of a father, and she's an only child. Her mother was a nurse, and what with shifts and all that, I'm guessing that's why Christy's grandparents seem to have brought her up rather than her mother. Now, she was described as a real Southern gal and a Baptist, and I know nothing about that religion except it's Christian, and there's some 50 million Baptists in the US alone, making it one of the largest groups of Protestants in the country. Teenage Christy then meets teenage Jason, the man she would go on to marry. I think he was a year or two older, but they went to different schools in Decatur. They knew each other for a while before they started dating, and they got married young, with the first daughter, Taylor, being born in April 1994. So Christy would have been around 20, yeah. And followed in October of 1998 by Madison. The following year, the family moved from Alabama to Texas, settling eventually in Katy, Texas, which is about 30 miles from Houston. And that's a long old trek from Alabama, about 770 miles or nearly 11 hours by road. It all seemed to work, to a point. Things started to go downhill when her grandfather, the one who'd helped raise her, died in 2012, followed 2 months later by her mother. Now, her grandfather, I think, was 82. Christy would have been 38 when they died. She didn't take it well. Not many would. She spiraled into depression, and her and Jason were fighting constantly, and they were splitting up and getting back together. She would move out, move back in, but it was just a complete treadmill of this kind of behaviour. Over 4 years, she spiraled so badly, people said that they didn't know who she was anymore, people that had known her for years.
What does she do for a job?
Anything and everything and lies, repeatedly.
And what did the husband do? Well, is it really husband anymore? Because they've kind of moved in and out.
No, he's still a husband. Jason, he's an IT consultant in the oil and gas industry, which makes the move to Texas, you know, completely logical. But he'd had to get a second job to keep the family afloat. Christy couldn't keep a job. She'd never graduated from high school. She left at 17. So she was always going to find getting a job a bit of a tough slog, but it's not impossible. But you do need to have something an employer wants. And if Christy didn't have what an employer wanted, she lied about it. Not all employers do background checks and reference checks, and she relied on that as she bounced from job to job. Beauty salons, sales, receptionist, etc. She previously, apparently, according to her, worked as an executive assistant for the vice president of a transportation company and as a stylist at a salon. She wasn't qualified. Even going so far as to list herself as a business manager of a company who later it came out that she'd worked for them for 6 months as a part-time receptionist. She seemed to have a public and interview persona. Bright, bubbly, personable. Yet behind the scenes, she was described as difficult, shall we say. There's no hint that she was, when she kept getting fired or mutually agreeable parting of ways, there's no hint that she was up to anything nefarious. It's just she was just too difficult for people to...
Too much of a disagreeable personality.
Yes. Now, there was also a lot of alarms or calls to the police from the family home over that four-year period. Over 14, I think.
Who from?
Well, this alarm, I don't know if it's an alarm system. I've seen screenshots.
Oh, as in you mean like call for a physical alarm system? I thought you meant they were alarming the police.
Or 999 calls. 911, sorry, were US. They were emergency calls to the police. Christy was repeatedly either threatening to kill herself or attempting to kill herself at least three, maybe four times. She was often taken to the usual local psychiatric facilities, kept in for a bit, and then released. Some reports say she was just held and released without any treatment, but police reports say she was on multiple medications and even seeing a therapist, but nothing seemed to be helping. Between 2012 and 2016, she's in this downward spiral, but her kids are doing great. The eldest, Taylor, was just about to start college or university and had done really well in her studies. And the younger one, Madison, was on the same path to do well. And Madison was highly thought of locally as a babysitter. She had a real bond with children. So who knows where she could have gone with any of this. Taylor was just about to marry her high school sweetheart. They'd been together for 4 or 5 years. And why not? Was probably going to be a tiny ceremony as students and money, and also maybe mother being an issue. I have a feeling she would have been the type to turn up in a big old white ball gown type of thing at the wedding and throw it into a loop. But that was the plan 3 days from Friday, June the 26th, 2016. Taylor was to be married on the Monday. And apparently they planned that when she eventually graduated uni, they would have the big wedding or a big event afterwards. Now that Friday, the 26th of June, was Jason's birthday. Should have been a fun day for him, but things were not going well with Christy again. She was drinking heavily, and that's something she'd done a lot of over the last 4 years. She accused him of not understanding and not helping. He probably didn't understand, but how was he to help any more than he was? He was probably paying for that apartment that she was living in at the time. She'd gone off again and she was living in an apartment. And most of the bills, as she was unemployed again, and likely unemployable at this point. But according to Christy, Jason should be backing her up when she tried to ground Taylor and forbid her from seeing her fiancé. Yes, a grown woman about to be married. Christy didn't even live at home with them and the girls. So Jason wasn't going to support her in that parenting decision. He told her it's absolutely bloody ridiculous. You don't ground an adult.
You can't.
I know.
By definition, sort of, they can leave. you're not under their care anymore. They can kind of act on their own volition.
Does that not tell you something about...
Well, yeah, it could either be her weird psychosis, thinking that she's still... The child's no longer under her control.
Yep.
Thinking she can control the child.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever sort of brain delusion she's got where she thinks she can then do that. Is it that she sees herself as the child because she's marrying her sort of high school sweetheart? She did that and she's in a bad position, so she's relating that.
Very good point.
She's seeing herself in that, but also, what are the reasons? We're never going to know why she said, no, you can't marry your high school sweetheart. You're grounded. Again, nothing would excuse what she may or may not do.
Why? So Christy called a family meeting for that Friday, Jason's birthday. I think it was his 45th. He was probably hoping it was going to be his birthday present of her announcing that they were going to get a divorce. He actually told her, Christy, that it would be the last birthday of his that she would ruin. Now, family meetings are never good unless you are announcing a lottery win. Just saying. So, the next reports, they vary on where you read. There are many videos with clips of the emergency calls, but I was left wondering about various editing and writers putting their personal perspectives on it. It's true that everyone gathered in the living room and sat down. When Christy pulled out a .38 caliber revolver and pointed it at Jason and began blaming him for what was about to happen and said, "You made me do this." Christy then turned and pointed the gun at Taylor. Taylor jumps up and tries to run. Christy shot her. Jason ran over to Taylor and threw himself over her and told Madison to run. Before trying to run, Madison was trying to ring 911 while her mother's attention was still on Taylor and Jason. And as soon as she got someone on the line, she bolted for the front door. Christy shot her and she collapsed with one foot outside the door. Jason tells Christy to do anything she wants if she would just put the gun down or make it easy on everyone and kill yourself. But Christy says it's too late for that and it's all about punishing you. So Madison died when she hit the floor. Jason was trying to pull Taylor up off the floor and get her out of the house because she was still alive, and they managed to reach the lawn. Christy followed them outside and tried to shoot again, but she was out of bullets. Christy went back inside to get more bullets. The police arrive. 3 911 calls will do that. Taylor apparently managed to get a call off. A neighbour did, and then the call from Madison. Christy comes back outside and she shot Taylor again in the back in the middle of the lawn. Version one of what happens has Jason running down the street to try and get help. The police arrive, circle round Christy and demanded that she put the gun down, but she refused. Instead, she looked directly at the police officer, pointing the gun at one of them, and the inevitable happened and the police shot her once, killing her instantly. Version 2 has Christy pointing the gun at Jason and dramatically staring him in the eye as the police arrive. And she refuses to put it down when challenged and again, shot dead instantly.
I'm going to go with the first one where police are happy to shoot people.
Yeah. Well,
in that instance. In the one instance, you do kind of want them to shoot people. They're kind of doing their job, which you can't really be too mad about. So I'm going to believe instance one rather than this weird cinematographic. What the fuck word am I trying to think of? This like weird cinematography, spinning camera,
yep,
as she's pointing a gun at them, having veering, like scary eyes. No, it's the first one.
Yeah, that's why I just felt...
She ran out with a gun, not knowing what's actually outside anymore. There were police there. They mag dumped her. That's what's happened.
Either way, it's suicide by cop, isn't it?
I've literally just written that down.
Oh, right, okay. So Taylor was still alive, and she was taken by helicopter to the nearest hospital, but unfortunately it was too late to save her, and she eventually passed away. She had 3 gunshot wounds. Jason doesn't talk about the case much, obviously, but apparently did appear on a recording of Dr. Oz. Jason believes it was all intentional that Christy shot and killed his daughters in front of him to make him suffer. She could have killed him first, but didn't. She was also not supposed to have a gun due to her mental health issues, and she had no license and she wouldn't have been granted one due to her mental health issues.
I know there's weird stuff in Texas, though. I don't think you even necessarily need one. If I'm a private citizen and I own a gun, I'm pretty sure I can just give you a gun.
No, it's permit to carry. She wouldn't have been eligible for this permit
to
carry.
I don't think that matters. Someone went on Joe Rogan podcast in Texas, gave him a gun. Joe Rogan says, sweet. He might have a thing himself for him to legally own a firearm, but the right to bear arms, I'm pretty sure, I don't know. I think that could just happen.
Maybe they've changed the law.
I can just buy, for example, if you were someone that could buy a gun in the state of Texas, you can just give it to me. That's now it's become a private individual like sale transaction thing. It's nothing kind of to do with anything else. So like she can get her hands on the gun. It's weird.
Well,
it's fucking stupid.
Well, I thought, well, Texas, it's not going to be difficult for her to get a gun off the streets.
You need a permit to conceal carry.
That's what I said.
Between her having a gun and her actively like holding the gun and using it, it's rather than you go outside in like the street. If I went outside in the street and had a gun tucked, like I was gonna say something, gun tucked in weird places, and the gun's tucked away, no one knows it's there, something happens, I can pull out a gun. That's a different thing than you being able to legally own a gun. Like you could own a gun, but you don't have a permit to conceal carry.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, either way, she shouldn't have had that.
So, again, I could be very wrong. I'm sure there are people from Texas that know much more than I do.
Yeah. Well, where did she get the gun from? Apparently, it was her inheritance from her deceased grandfather. That's what she was left in the will. So that's screaming issues somehow to me. Jason manages to carry on with his life, and he met and married someone else 4 years after this tragedy. Now, male family annihilators is unfortunately far, far too common. There were 4 cases last week in the US alone that I heard of. And I'm sure that's actually a drop in the ocean because not every case hits the news. 81% of the men attempted suicide after the act, with seemingly 68% succeeding. So why do women do it? Same reason as men often. Divorce, finance, custody disputes. But religion also features quite a bit with the women's ones, as well as mental illness. Now, of course, you have Andrea Yates. We've talked about her before, the one who drowned all her children. But 99% of that can be laid at religion and her flipping husband, Rusty's door. You've also got someone called Deanna Schlosser. That was religion and postnatal depression. Again, similar thing, she killed her children. There's a lot of these names you're not going to know, Cameron, but I'm sure listeners will. Diane Downs, although some think she's innocent and she's been on the TV circuit interviewing saying, I'm innocent, and people do believe that. Susan Smith, she wanted to be child-free because the new boyfriend didn't want them. She's the one who drove the car into the lake and drowned them. People will know about all of those, but I wonder if you've heard of these ones. Deborah Green. She's an American doctor who pleaded no contest to setting a 1995 fire, which burned down the family home, killed 2 of her children, and a poisoning her husband with ricin. Then we have Constance Fisher of Maine. She drowned 3 of her children in a bathtub on the 8th of March 1954. She was declared incompetent and sent to the state mental hospital, where she was treated and cured. She comes back out, her husband stays with her, and they had 3 more children. On June the 30th, 1966, she drowned the second set of children in the bathtub. And what's even worse is the second set of children were the exact same age as the first lot when she killed them. So, yeah. Then you've got a lady called Elaine Campione. She drowned her 2 daughters to prevent her ex getting custody. And to be fair, she did have cause to worry about them, as the ex was facing 4 counts of assault, 1 count of assault causing bodily harm, and 1 count of uttering threats. So could she be considered a saviour or altruistic type?
Obviously not, but she's trying to save her kids from harm, doesn't see how, and then takes her kids out.
Yeah. Now, there's another one I hadn't heard of. And it's, again, religion. Lauren Stewart, she was a woman from Michigan. February 2018, she killed her husband, Daniel, and their 2 children, and the dog, and then herself. Apparently, what triggered it, they had agreed their children going to college. They were, you know, much older, and they were of that age. They were Jehovah's Witnesses. they were basically ostracized, and then she went into depression and she got really upset about it and they couldn't see a way out. So she killed everybody. I didn't realize that familicides were used as punishments in ancient China. They used to kill entire families or clans for treason. Nazi Germany used to do the same thing. They would punish and sometimes execute the relatives of defectors and anyone involved in it.
They do that in North Korea.
Yep, they still do that in North Korea. Now, it's quoted as La Cosa Nostra, but most of us will just think mafia. And apparently that was the thing in the 1980s. They would kill a relative, including the women and sometimes the children, of informants and rivals.
And often that goes far. I think it's something like three generations is the thing in North Korea. If you commit a crime and you have kids, they also go to like the internment camps, and so do your grandparents.
Yeah,
that's what creates the, I'm going to say grassing mentality, but that's not the right word. You know, like snitching.
Yeah.
Like, don't believe or trust anyone. All the walls have eyes, and it creates an uneasy society. So no one does anything because they don't know
who to trust.
Who to trust.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But it's how it's used as a political or...
It's a way to control masses, isn't it?
Yeah. But Christie, Professor David Wilson, we've talked about him before. He's in a report saying that narcissistic rage is also a factor. And well, after viewing her still live Instagram and reading some very strange posts, which people are still leaving even now, I'm going to backpedal on my rather uncharitable thoughts I had initially and ask Cameron for your input, if you would please take a look at that IG.
Regarding her Instagram. Mm. When you're talking about it, I tried to get it to load on the computer. It didn't work, so I was on my phone trying to find it. I just scrolled through very briefly down the page. It seems to be that a lot of her identity is the fact she's from southern USA. It's really kind of weird. It's almost like a club, the same way that people associate their commodity with them. If they collect shoes, they are a shoe collector, and that becomes a huge part of the personality. Her thing was she's from Southern America, which is not something you can help if you're born there. It's weird for that to be part of your personality. Kind of, it's not something you've adopted or like. You were just born there. It's like the dirt you're born on. It seems really weird. It's like if you don't like Southern women, if you like Southern women, raise your glasses. If you don't like them, raise your standards. It's really fucking weird. And then her most recent Instagram picture. I didn't see the date on it.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the other pictures, they've got like 16 comments, maybe 20 comments, maybe like 5 or 6 likes. You go to the most recent one, it's 750 comments.
Yeah.
And it's just people like, right in hell, fucking bitch. And then, I can't believe what you did to that father, and then just loads of stuff. And then the top comment was, wow, looking great. And someone's like, really, dude?
Yeah.
I don't think he knew what was going on. He just found a blonde woman from America. And he was like, oh yeah, I like that. It's really weird. You can often find that kind of thing if there's been a recent travesty or contentious thing in the news, and someone hasn't uploaded it for a while, or maybe someone's died, like a YouTuber, and you go to their most recent video and it's got 5 times the views that their last ones do because people are talking about it on that sort of thread or that video. I don't know. It seems typical Southern US woman, family, pictures of her car, weirdly, kids.
What I took from it, I said to me, in my head, she loved a selfie and a filter. And whilst they're nowhere near as advanced as they are now, they were still in use in 2016. She was also always heavily made up. She would post gushing things to her daughters, but often less than, flattering, family-worthy only pictures of her daughters. And her behaviour, would similar, lying about her jobs and experience. I ended up thinking it's all about making her out to be better or bigger than she was, whilst snidely putting her daughters down. Now, I'm sure a lot of you out there know what I'm talking about and have seen those that do that. Yet Jason says she was deeply insecure, but that would feed into that too, wouldn't it? And also throwing a strop on wanting to ground her daughter. That's power and control right there, isn't it? And I bet she did a shit ton of stuff like that behind Jason's back he may not have known about with those girls. Probably didn't want to tell him what mum was like, although it is known that she was strict, apparently. There are some rumours out there that Christie didn't like the fiancé and was racist towards him. I think he had a Latin American heritage and she didn't want a daughter to marry him.
Yeah, especially in Southern America. Some people can be really funny about that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I've got no idea if that's true. I've read it a couple of places, but again, was that somebody putting their spin on it? Because it's nothing that the police have ever said.
It could have been, yeah.
Yeah. So lots of old acquaintances and family came out saying that all Christy had ever wanted to be was a mother, and how shocking it was, obviously. And I'm now wondering if she felt, I grew them, I own them mentality.
Some parents kind of do. Yeah. I don't get that. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be here. I birthed you. I can, unbirth, do you know what I mean? And yeah. I gave you life, I can take it away.
Yeah.
Well, guess who doesn't get spoken to after the age of 18 and you get put in the shittiest home? Just because you birth someone doesn't mean that you can even hit them. I don't understand that. People that say, if a child doesn't understand what you're saying and you can't reason with them, then they're going to understand and reason as to why you've hit them. So you're not accomplishing anything.
But people still do it. And I don't think you can't change human behavior and why somebody's got that mentality. And I thought, because these girls were probably not doing what she wanted, that were turning out the way she wanted, she had every right in her mind to get rid of them, but hurting her probably soon to be ex-husband would be the main driver behind the act. Now,
almost an extension of herself rather than individual people, but they're like 20.
22 and 17.
Yeah, they're in or around their 20s.
Yeah.
They're no longer just an extension where when you have a baby, they are attached to you at the hip and they are kind of not a person yet because they just kind of shit and eat. But like me. But they haven't like developed personality yet. Even after the age of like 2, they start to have personalities and interests and stuff. That's my child versus that one. There's big differences. And then it's evolved. They're a fucking adult just because they're going to get married and arguably maybe even be more successful. I've got something written down here that says if you don't raise your kids properly, you end up raising your grandkids because your kids then don't look after their kids properly, so you have to raise the grandkids.
Yes.
I don't know if that happened with her because she wasn't raised by her mother or what. I don't understand.
I suspect that, because say, her mother was a nurse. They do all sorts of weird shifts. And she was a single parent. There doesn't appear to have been any father in the picture. So it was probably, Mum, Dad, can you step in and help raise my daughter because I need to provide?
I'm not saying that's a bad situation. The grandparents might have raised the daughter perfectly, but in the situation that she was in, she then wouldn't have the capacity to raise Christy, so therefore the grandparents looked after her. I know that's kind of an argument in the face of what I had said there. But either way, she was raised by her grandparents, and you could argue she wasn't raised successfully because she didn't sort of finish school and didn't come out of it with anything.
And also as well, think of the generational difference. Now, I'm going to tell you something now that I'm not sure if I've told you this before, but he's long dead, so it doesn't matter. But my father loved babies and toddlers right up until they got an opinion. So usually about the age of 3.
Mm.
And as soon as they had their own opinion, as in, no, I don't want to do that, then didn't want to know. And it was
kids are to be seen and not heard.
Yes.
But then why have you had a child in the first place? If they're not going to be part of a family, they're not a dog.
Apparently the death of her mother didn't affect Christy the same way. Which, like we said, if her grandparents raised it, it's sort of to be expected. And it's not noticeable. It became very noticeable to those around her how her behaviour got even more unpredictable and odd as the anniversary of her grandfather's death would come around every year. And I wondered as well if she fixated on grandpa as a daddy's girl, as, you know, as father wasn't in her life. She was, you know, papa's girl or whatever she called him. Which would also explain in a backward way why killing her daughters to punish Jason would make sense to her, making Jason suffer as a father because she'd never had a father
She had a father figure, but she's probably got a hang up of her not being raised by her father and abandonment issues potentially.
Yeah. I did
want... But that's not true though, because she keeps seemingly weirdly abandoning her kids by running away, coming back, running away and coming back. So she's perpetuating the cycle almost.
Yeah, but when you're in the throes of whatever she was in the throes of, you can't... I did wonder initially if there wasn't any money to pay for treatment, as so many reports said she was held in these psychiatric facilities and released without treatment. But that doesn't seem to have been the case, as the police are on record saying that she was on medication. And I thought, well, the co-payers you guys have could have been horrendous, and maybe it didn't allow for better alternative therapy. It can be a very long and expensive journey to get the right treatment when you've got very complex mental health issues. But perhaps she was untreatable. It happens. Personality disorders can also be super, super hard to diagnose and treat. And I'm musing again because that's all we can do. At 38 years old, well, granddad died, so she was 42 when this all happened. She was probably in perimenopause. So in my head, I was wondering, are we back to the possibility of schizophrenia due to her age?
Yeah, and this isn't saying all women that enter menopause
no.
have schizophrenia, but some idiot will say that.
Yeah.
But to say that if you have women that reach a certain age and they're more predisposed to something, it's like saying black people are more disproportionately predisposed to heart issues. They just are due to genetics.
Yeah.
So if a woman reaching a certain age, she might be perimenopause. Her hormones go crazy. Insufficient estrogen causes like demelanation of like brain cells or something, and it can lead to like schizophrenia and other mental health issues from it. It could be. To be fair, it's like saying men in their 50s have low testosterone.
Yeah.
Because that is what happens. Some people might not. Some people be fine, but some people do.
It could be as simple as anger and rage and just nothing bigger than that. It really could. I'm really surprised that Instagram is still up, though. But her surviving relatives, she's got aunts and uncles, are probably of an age whereby they may not know about Instagram, and or maybe Instagram won't take it down. We know that that happens with some of these companies. I know Facebook had a really bad reputation for not taking things down when families of murder victims asked them to remove stuff. But the people leaving the comments on it is still odd.
There were some people. I don't think it's odd, because if you're listening to a podcast, for example, or a television show, and you become sort of. You become passionate about it because you get irritated by what's happened, or you kind of get angry and you kind of want to display that or vent or remove that from yourself. So you're gonna go on her Instagram potentially and then use it there, and it's almost cathartic. But there's also people that were like, how about we don't shit on this woman, is what some Instagram comments were saying.
Because she had mental health issues.
Yeah, but that doesn't excuse it.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't excuse what she did.
And they're clicking that person's profile and they look fucking mental anyway, so that doesn't matter. There, the next week's episode, probably. Do you know what I mean?
As I said, there's a lot of unanswerable questions and a lot of guessing. So
I do, however, have some questions you may not have. Were there any odd circumstances surrounding the death of her granddad and mother within the 2 month span? I'm just wondering, because they died within a short span of time.
I don't know what her mother passed away from. I would be speculating if I came up with anything. And her grandfather was 82. It happens. So there's nothing out there that would lead me to.
Is there any weird reports of her upbringing?
No, but what was odd, I thought, was when her grandfather died, there's posts out on social media somewhere where she thanked Jason for letting her go back to her grandfather's funeral. And I know it's 10 hours away, but I just thought it was. That's. Why? Huh?
Well, thanking your husband for letting you go to your grandfather's.
Letting.
Yeah, that seems a bit odd.
That was.
I'm not to insinuate anything that the grandfather had done, but often if an abuser has died, the person that was abused can then restart the cycle of their like PTSD, or they can re-enter their abuse state in their mind. I'm not saying the grandfather's done anything. If there's no reports of it, I'm not just going to throw some shade at some man that's potentially done nothing wrong. But it's just something I was considering. Was there any weird reports?
I never saw childhood,
but if you can't find anything, then probably not.
The only person that would possibly have known anything, if, as we know, people keep secrets their entire lives, would have been the husband. And the grandmother was still alive. They say there were aunts and uncles, but she didn't have any siblings. So the police probably wouldn't have gone digging. They probably wouldn't have looked for reports, because as far as they were concerned, the murderer was.
It's done and dusted.
Yeah.
It's kind of easy for them. It's less. Probably there's paperwork somehow, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So finally, the victims who should not be forgotten. Madison Tyler Sheets, age 17, and Taylor Ashton Sheets, aged 22.
So that's the end. Thank you very much for listening. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram, Murder Be Monday Podcast. Email us at murderbemondaypodcast@gmail.com. Patreon in the show notes below. Access a week early, shout out, all that good stuff, potentially nipple stickers. My Instagram, if anyone cares, is Cam Can't Focus, and we'll see you next time. Much love, peace,
bye.